Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the College Basketball Experience. March Madness is heating up, and you need to subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. It's awesome, baby.
Hi, y'all, Jen Reno's, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 303 goes out to Mike Dunn, who's been dying for us to drop our episode. So there you go. Consider it done. Haha. Thanks to everyone for coming to the show. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, one of your lovely hosts. We got a UFC this week. It's kind of a big one, I've been told. UFC 285, the return of Jon Jones. We're recording this Wednesday, so we're, 3 days out? He hasn't pulled out of the fight yet. The fight card, everyone has been shipped off to a different state to run the fight, run the event. So maybe, just maybe, it's going to happen. Actually, no fights, I think, have fallen off yet. So we'll get this recorded as quick as we can and posted as quick as we can, because we know how these things work in MMA. So this episode, for those new to the program, welcome, first of all. This episode is our prelim preview, you could say. Well, we're just doing all the prelim fights in this one, which is not just prelims. It's quite a few fights. We got 9 fights. Oh my god, we better get going here. We got 9 fights to break down, and it's basically, as I said in previous episodes, it's basically a really solid fight night card. Better than last week's fight night card if you just counted the prelim fights on this card. So we shall get you picks for that, and then tomorrow will be the main card. Props, locks, dogs, parlays, all that fun stuff. So let's bring in the brains of the operation. It would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So a couple of small rebuttals. We have lost
rebuttals.
We have lost 3 fights so far on this. Although half the fight stayed together.
Replacements, though, right?
Yeah, Cody Garbrandt was supposed to fight Julio Arce. Arce out of there, and now we got Trevin Jones. Esteban Ribovic was supposed to fight Kamuela Kirk. Kamuela Kirk out, and now we have Loik Radzabov. And then, of course, Dan Hooker's broken hand, which we wound up, I think, getting a better fight out of that one at the end of the day. So,
Looking forward to that one for sure.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that one on tomorrow's show. And the other thing I will say is this the prelims better than a fight night card? I will say no, only because it lacks a headliner.
Because Brunson DuPlessis could be a headliner.
Is it better, though, than Brendan Allen and Andre Muniz, which we just shit on?
No,
last
I guess
episode?
Not. I guess not. But yeah. The under.
You know what? Fine. It actually might be better now that
this
guy is
so difficult. Like, it's just a throwaway comment. I guess I've said it more than once, though. So now you're gonna call me on it. Is that how it works?
I mean, I just you need to give me things to bounce off of when we start these episodes, and you forget that when I bounce high.
He bounces. Yeah, it's true. He's rubber. Anyhow, it's a good fight card. Okay, are we gonna agree on that?
It's usually
the other way around here.
It's great. I love it.
Usually, I'm the bad cop. You're the good cop. We're reversing roles apparently this episode.
You know, I just defend the Apex cards till I die. That's just what I do.
You also hype up our contest. Tell everybody about the contest before we forget.
Yeah, we're going into the last month of our first quarter contest because it's just going to run for 3 months. So you've only got 4 events left to take home some of the prizes. And you can find the link to that either on our Twitter, which will pop up a couple of times throughout now between the end of the week. And it will pop up daily in our Discord. So make sure you join that, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. And if you do that, you just have to put in 1 plus 200 or better prop for your chance to win some sweet merch. There'll be some all kinds of different winners, the person who hits the most props over the time period. But if you haven't been playing along, you still got a chance to win because we're also going to give away some prizes to the person who accumulates the most value and the person who hits the biggest prop. So you could just play for 1 week and you could win. So hop on in there and drop your prop bets.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely not too late to get in because it's not like people have been tearing it up with the pick either, right?
Just our boy Dredney. So right now, and I can give you a quick little update because we haven't done like a standings update on this prop contest yet. I have currently 9 people have hit 1 or more props, but only 1 person has hit the or more of those props. And that's Dredney, who has a 350, a 650, and a 280 that he's hit.
Oh, my God.
So he's cleaning everybody up right now. But again, you know, just 1 prop better than 650 could take home one. Yeah, that's all you got to do is you just got to hit 1 prop better than 650, and you could take home a big old prize.
Well, maybe tomorrow we will give you a prop bigger than 650. You never know, right?
You never know. I got
that would be something you would do, not me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You never know. All right, let's dig into this card because it's as I said, it's we got 9 fights to get through. I wish if someone's gonna back out, just back out before we actually record this because I guarantee we're gonna lose at least one of these fights. It's just the way it goes. But all right, before we get into it, I better tell you about the people that keep the lights on here. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and the same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. March Madness is almost here, plus plenty of ways to win, getting down on other sports such as NBA, NHL, how about hockey's still on, and XFL. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our degens, only if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. That's something Dredney should get in on. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And of course, the SGPN merch store continues to add new items to the store every day. Head over to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get your favorite shirts, hats, sweats, and hoodies. We got lots of March Madness themed stuff in there. I'm probably not allowed to say that, but we have lots of stuff that's good for this time of year. Let's say that in the store. So check it out, store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. All right. I'm having trouble talking already, and we just got started. This is going to be a good episode. Let's get into UFC 285 Jones versus Gain, March 4th. T-Mobile Arena, Paradise, Nevada, aka Las Vegas. It is a 14-fight card. We're going to stick to the 9 prelim fights now, starting with the early prelims, which are happening at 5:30 p.m. Tip-off, kick-off, punch-off, and it's on ESPN Plus or UFC Fight Pass. Start with lightweights, Esteban Ribovitz versus Loic Radziejabov, or something like that. Ribovitz, El Gringo is the nickname. He's 11-0, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. This is his debut. He went 1-0 in the Contender Series, won that fight via TKO. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
6 years younger than Radziejabov. An inch taller, an inch reach, plus 225. Radziejabov, Jaguar Paw is the nickname. 16-4-1. Does he have a Jaguar Paw for a hand? I've never seen him fight.
I don't think so. You've never seen him fight? He was all over PFL.
Yeah, that's right. I probably did see him fight. And I think I would have noticed if he had a Jaguar paw.
You would.
I think that would be cheating.
It would have been. It'd be inside the glove.
Oh, that's true. Unless it's on his feet. Anywho. 16-4-1 is this man. He's 7 knockouts, 5 submissions. He has never been finished in a fight. So very durable over 21 fights. This is his short notice debut in the UFC. He's 3-1 over his last four, including winning his last fight via submission. Was a regional champion, 4-4 in PFL. Used to fight at welterweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, -280. So explain to us why a newcomer on short notice is -280. Gumby against an undefeated man.
Yeah, I mean, an infinitely stronger resume. Like when you look back and you see who Rod Zavala has fought, it's like a very good list of opponents, right? He beat Zach Zane by submission at Eagle FC for his last fight. Zach Zane's been all over Bellator. You know, the multiple fights with Alex Martinez, which were good. He beat Chris Wade, who was in the UFC. You know, majority draw with Islam Mamadov. You know, like he's just fought like a lot of high quality opponents. Manton Schultz, I didn't even mention. Rosh Manvio, I didn't even mention. And when you look at Ribovich, like, he is a guy who has fought not a murderer's row of opponents. You know, like, his best opponent is probably Thomas Paul, the guy who he fought in Contender Series, who, I mean, kind of like him, my breakdown of Ribovich is just like, he's a big puncher. Outside of being a big puncher, there's not really much to say about him. Do you know what promotion he came from to come to Contender Series?
He's a Samurai House, isn't he?
He's a Samurai Fight House guy. Right.
Well, yeah. That makes my decision then, because we decided we are going to fade those guys.
And so
I think he was a champ there too.
What? Yeah, sure.
Sounds good.
I actually think you were the heavyweight champ of Samurai Fight House. Yeah, for a short
I've never fought before, but yes, it's
true. But you got it. So I first of all have questions about his record, but in addition to that, too, the style matchup is just terrible for him. Rod Zavala is a guy who, you know, gets into the clinch, he mixes things up. I mean, like, he out wrestled Chris Wade, and you've got him up against a guy who, like, needs to be at range and needs to power punch, and it's just kind of like, if that doesn't happen, what does he have? So yeah, I think Rod Zavala is just going to take him down. He's going to control him, and even if he doesn't, he's going to have him against the cage, because he just does like a lot of really good cage work too. So yeah, give me Rod Zavala here, despite the short notice and the hefty price tag.
All right, you sold me. I will take him too. Since I don't remember either guy, I'm sure I've seen them both. Well, I've seen Ribovitz for sure, and he was in your, I think, short UFC career. Is where you put him after the Contender Series. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I paired him with a whole bunch of people who had like quick KOs, and I was like, who the hell knows? Because, like, you know, it's hard to tell with this guy. Like, I've never seen him fight somebody who could wrestle him. And, you know, if we're being honest, too, that burned me last week. You know, I was all over Fernandez, Gabby Fernandez, and, like, had just never seen her fight somebody who could out wrestle her, and you know, she looked terrible. I think you're going to see a similar thing here with Ribovitz.
Yeah, I had fun with that pick though, Dan. I had that one right. All right,
I know.
We're not living in the past, so we have new fights to argue over. Not arguing that one though. Let's move to the next fight. We're going to go down to bantamweights. Damon Blackshear versus Fareed Basharat. Blackshear, ferocious. No, sorry, that's the other man. Da Monster Blackshear. They both have names that are plays on their first names. So Da Monster, Damon Blackshear. Or is Damon short for Da Monster? Did his parents name him Da Monster?
I don't believe so.
Imagine naming your child a monster when they were born.
It'd be pretty great.
I can see it after they hit what, 3 or something, then you can call him monster.
I would say 2.
Yep, that's true. Terrible 2s, that's right. All right. Blackshear, 12-4-1, 1 knockout, 8 submission. Eight submissions. He's 0-0-1 in the UFC. So he drew in his last fight, his only fight in the UFC. He's gone 4-0-1 over his last 5. He's not lost a fight since February of 2021. He was 1-0 in Bellator. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
A lot of mantles already. Used to fight at featherweight, 2 inches taller, 1 inch reach on Basharat. We got a strike differential of -2.4 strikes per minute. So he was outstruck by almost 2.5 strikes in his UFC debut, which was, I can't remember who it was against, Dan.
Yusuf Zalal.
Yes, and I think it was short notice.
Yes, was it not? Yes.
Very, very tough. And he's not getting much easier opponent here, because he's at +355. Ferocious Fareed Basharat. brother of Javid Basharat. This is the worst of the two brothers, right? There's always a worst of the two brothers in these things.
He is the lesser of the two, not worse. He is definitely the lesser of the two. Javid is the snow leopard's number one here.
snow leopard number one. Could be a good name for an episode. Ferocious Farad is 9-0 with 1 knockout, 5 submissions. This is his debut after going 1-0 in Contender Series. I think you had him, what do you have him listed at? Do you remember where you had him ranked after Contender Series?
I would guess long career or the edge of possibly ranked.
Yeah, maybe it was ranked. You know what, guys? I'm going to look it up on the air because that's what people like. They like counting and they like when people look things up while they're recording a podcast, right?
Those are my favorite things.
Yeah, I have looked it up before and I already forget because this was a whole 2 days ago, Dan, when I did the research. Everything is in and out by then. All right, Farid is under likely to make the rankings.
Nice.
Very good. Okay. Now we got that out of the way. Let me tell you about the rest of his resume. That's the most important part, what Dan thinks of him. But anyhow, he used to fight at featherweight, used to fight at welterweight, so way up there. He's 3 years younger than Blackshear. All these upcoming stats are based off of one fight for each man. His striking stats are better than and grappling stats are better than Blackshear's. He was 4.3 times more active landing strikes, so very much more active landing strikes than Blackshear was in their fight. He outstruck his Contender Series opponent by almost 6 strikes a minute, 5.93 strikes a minute. He's at minus 475. I'll ride with the lesser Basharat right here. I thought Blackshear was pretty good coming in the UFC, but he's been given another rough hand here. So give me the big favorite here because that's who I am, Jeff Chalks Fox.
Yeah, I'm going to take Basharat too, but I will say as a word of caution to people who are like, just this is something you throw in a parlay because they, you know, you see those negative 400 odds. I really don't think so on this one. I think Basharat wins this fight, but I think we're paying Javid Basharat prices for Farid Basharat. I think that's the problem here is that the resume of his brother and his brother's, you know, like what people think of his brother are kind of like shining through a little bit too much because Blackshear is good. But also, I will say this before anybody goes, well, if Blackshear is good and we think he's the lesser brother, why not just jump at the dog prices? The thing about Blackshear is he has had trouble with people who can match his wrestling, right? Like the reason Zalal won is he, you know, he scored a takedown in that fight. And, you know, if you go back to the other people who have beaten Blackshear, we're talking about like Pat Sabatini and Danny Sabatello. And like, I don't think Basharat is that good as those guys, but he is a guy who likes to wrestle and does good things on the ground. So I give him a pretty good chance to do that here against Blackshear, just not negative 475 good.
Yep. Works for, yeah, that's what I thought when I saw this line. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it. So we were going with Blackshear, not Blackshear, Basharat, but take those words of caution. All right. This fight, we already broke down. Yeah, we made it right to the breaking down phase, right? It was last minute when this one got canceled last time. And it was women's strawweight fight, Jessica Penne versus Tabitha Ricci. Originally was supposed to go down. When was it supposed to go down?
October 1st.
Wow. And what happened again? Penne got sick and then it took a while to get it rebooked. As I learned on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, because Baby Shark Tabitha Ricci is a guest on there.
That's right.
And she's a good guest. I think you've had her before, right?
I've had her like 3 times. She's always a pleasure to have.
She is a pleasure. All right. Penne, let's tell you about her. Was she was on your show in the old days, wasn't she?
Negative. Nope.
Okay, fine. We're fading her then. She's 14-6, 2 knockouts, 8 submissions, been knocked out twice, submitted once, 3-4 in the UFC. However, she's gone 2-1 over her last 3 fights. Another however, though, guys. However, she lost her last fight. 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, 3-1 in Invicta and the champion there. Used to fight down at Adam Weight. Was that weight she was the champ at in Invicta?
She was, yeah.
Okay. 1-1 in Bellator. So she's fought everywhere. Man. 2006 UFC, pro MMA debut. 4 inches taller, 6 inches reach at Ricci. She's been outstruck over her UFC career by 2.12 strikes per minute. So not good. Plus 250. Baby Shark, Tabitha Ricci. Not a good nickname, but a fun interview and a fun fighter. She's 7-1, 1 knockout, 2 submissions, been knocked out 1 time. 2-1 in the UFC. She's won 2 straight fights after dropping her debut. Used to fight up at flyweight. She's 12 years younger than Penne. Striking stats are in her favor, and she's more active landing strikes than Penne is. However, she has been outstruck over her 3 UFC fights by almost 2 strikes a minute, minus 1.94, and she's at minus 315. Over to you.
Yeah, so if you got this earlier in the week, you were in good taste here, because this shot up, and it should have shot up. Tabitha Ricci is as close to a sure thing here as I think there might be on the whole card. Because, like, look, you mentioned she's been outstruck by her opponents. That's literally just because her first fight was on short notice, up a weight class against Manon Fiorot. If you take that fight out of the equation, the numbers look a lot different for Tabitha Ricci. So, first of all, I think she's got a huge striking advantage over Jessica Penne. I think if she chooses to keep this on the feet, I think she does just fine there and probably wins. And the other thing I think is her combination of just phenomenal wrestling and how she mixes her judo into there, because she's a judo black belt, and both of her parents were judo black belts. She comes from a long line of grapplers, and I think if she decides to keep it grappling, she'll be safe on the ground against Penne. Penne's not going to sub her off of her back. I think she's got the striking advantage, and I think if she chooses to go to the ground, I think she will have an easy enough time there. So I think this is Ricci any way she decides to win it.
Yes, Baby Shark is the pick on land or in the sea, right?
On land or in the sea, sure.
Okay. Gumby begrudgingly accepts that's the pick here. So I'm going to pick someone who's 12 years younger than their opponent almost every day, especially one that's as skilled as Ricci is, as I said, on land or sea. All right, before we move on, I have something to tell you about here. Underdog Fantasy. We are also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is your home for off-season NFL best ball drafts, but they also got you covered for a ton of other daily games, including NBA, NHL, and PGA. Underdog Fantasy is a great way to get down on your favorite player props if they're not available in your state. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, moving right along, bantamweights again. There's like 150 bantamweights in the UFC, so it makes sense. Cameron Simon versus Leo Manna, aka Manna Martinez, who was the other guest on Top Turtle podcast this week. So you got back-to-back guests here, Gumby.
Love it.
They scheduled it according to your podcast. And you had Ricci on before Martinez too. Wow. All right. Difference here though, we got an underdog. Manna boy Martinez is 10-3 with 8 knockouts. He's been submitted one time, 2-1 in the UFC. Got win, loss, win. 0-1 in the contender series, was a regional champion. 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. It's 0.4 strikes per minute. Did I tell you he's got win, loss, win? I think I said that. So he did win his last fight. His grappling stats are better than Simon's, but Simon's based off of 2 fights, plus 255. MSP for Simon. Have we talked about this nickname and what it means? Do we know what it means?
I have no idea what it means.
Is it some sort of he's South African, right?
Yeah, maybe it's something I don't
like maybe the bacon double cheeseburger thing or whatever.
Junior bacon cheeseburger.
Junior bacon cheeseburger. Is it something like that, but in South Africa?
Yeah, it's the South African Junior Bacon Cheeseburger.
That's, so that's maybe, another good title.
That's the title right there.
Oh, that's the title, because Gumby says South African. Actually, you said the other one too. You are on a roll with the titles, Junior. What was double bacon cheeseburger? Yes, that's quite a mouthful. We'll have to wait and see. He is 7-0, Simon. 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 1-0 in the UFC, 1 via TKO, 1-0 in the contender series. He's won 2 straight fights via TKO or KO. Was a regional champ, 4 years younger than Martinez. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 2.25 strikes per minute, minus 325. Give me chalk again. Simon's looked impressive. I'm not ready to bail on him yet, so give me Cy Amon minus 325.
This is where I'm gonna bail on him.
I had a feeling,
and it's not just because I had Mono Martinez too on the show, because I know some people are gonna think that, but like I as you'll remember, I tried to fade Simon last fight too, and I don't think I was okay, so I wasn't right because he won, but I don't think I was all that off on my my assessment of him, because I actually don't think he's got a lot in the grappling department. Like, I think his grappling's pretty bad. And I think if Steven Koslow could have gotten it there, he'd have looked a lot better. And the thing about fighting Steven Koslow, Koslow has almost no striking, like none to speak of. And in this fight, Mano Martinez is low-key super explosive with his hands. Like, and I know he's just gone to decision in three straight fights in the UFC, but if you go back to when he was fighting for Fury FC, everything was a knockout with this guy in like early in the fights. And in it's not like Koslow had no success against Simon, and he was basically a guy who just is like pulled guard his whole career. And we've got a guy who knocked out Jose Johnson in 32 seconds, or, you know, Casey Jones in a minute, or, you know, he knocked out Jared Walden in 24 seconds. Like, this is a guy who just goes in and knocks people out. So, you know, like, I really like the idea of Mano Martinez having multiple places he can win this fight. And I'll also say this. I love that he's back to his coach that he was using when he was knocking all of those people out, because, you know, for a little while he was training with James Krause, which obviously is no longer the case for anybody. Yeah, I don't know. I think it has to do with gambling. But
yeah, that's what we're all about, though.
Yeah, he shouldn't be. But now we got Mano Martinez here, who is back to his like boxing coach, the place where he was knocking people out. I think there's enough holes in Simon's game for me to pull the trigger on, especially at such like a huge price. Like, what's his price here again, you said?
Plus 255.
Yeah, so like at plus 255, like that's a dog play I'm comfortable with.
All right. I had a feeling. So we'll see what happens. We have one pick that we haven't agreed on. Let's go to the main event of the early prelims. Welterweights Ian Garry versus Song Keenan. I'm going to tell you about Song first. He's 18-6 with 9 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 4-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1 over his last 3. He got knocked out in his last fight. That was back in March of 2021. So we're going on 2 years he's been out. He's fight at middleweight, has missed weight before at welterweight, something to keep an eye on. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.02 strikes per minute. So basically, striking is a wash for him. Thus far, plus 495. We got some big lines this week. Ian, the future Garry, 10-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's gone 3-0 in the UFC, was the Cage Warriors champion, 3 inches height, 3 inches of reach, and 7 years younger than Song. Striking and active striking stats and grappling stats all in his favor over Song. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.61 strikes per minute. He's at minus 735. Go ahead.
Minus 735, and that's,
yeah, I know,
not even close to being remotely the wildest line that we see on this card, as you'll find. Actually, that's tomorrow. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Ian Garry. You know, like kind of with Cameron Simon, I've been a guy who's sort of fading the Ian Garry. Like, he didn't look all that good against Jordan Williams, and you know I will always pull the trigger on the opportunity to talk about Jordan Williams. He didn't look all so hot until he knocked him out. I think there are holes in his game. I think he's not quite the prospect that people are making him out to be. And that being said, they put him with a perfect opponent here in Song Keenan. I just don't think Song has very much to offer him. He's got a, you know, a chin that's been tested a few times. And you know, I think Ian Garry is just that good. Now, once again, am I pulling the trigger on negative 735 and throwing him in every single parlay? Maybe not. But even that price, I think maybe is worth throwing in one or two of them rather than all of them.
Yep, Garry is the pick, but, you know, we don't like 735 picks around here, but yeah. He is the future, Dan. We can't stop the future, okay? We can't. All right.
It's him and Macy Barber. That's our future.
Yeah, maybe they'll have a fight, yeah, and we'll decide who really is the future. All right, that is the early prelims. We're going on to the main prelims. ESPN News, it's on this week, and ESPN Plus, TSN, one of the TSNs up here in Canada, TSN 5 usually it's on, I guess. And this one's starting at 8 o'clock, as per usual, for pay-per-views. Middleweights, Julian Marquez versus Marc-Andre Barrio. A couple of our favorite nicknames in this fight, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes.
We'll start with the Cuban Missile Crisis, Julian Marquez, 9-3, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents. He's been knocked out 1 time. 3-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1 over his last 3. Lost his last fight via knockout, so that's the one time he's been stopped. Has missed weight before. 1-0 in Contender Series. He used to fight up at light heavyweight. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.34 strikes per minute. He's an inch taller than Barrio. He's already did the outstriking thing. Plus 130 is the number for him. Power bar. We still don't know what that means, right?
Have you had one yet? I think it's got to be a play on his last name, right?
Yes.
Barrio.
Yeah, I guess so. Just have him on and find out. All right.
I'll do my best.
He speaks English. Come on. He's 14-6 with one no contest, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 3-5 in the UFC with one no contest. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last three. He got submitted in his last fight. The loss before that, he got knocked out. He's failed a drug test in the past. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Finally, we got that again. Used to fight at light heavyweight as well. 2 inches of reach on Marquez. Striking and active striking stats and grappling stats in his favor. He outstrikes his opponents by 0.52 strikes per minute. Minus 155. And it's me or you? I can't remember already.
This one is you.
Okay. Give me my fellow Canadian, Barrio. Just a more well-rounded fighter than Marquez. Good on the feet and much better than him on the ground. So I like him in this fight. I think he's got more upside. Not that it matters in this fight, but yeah, I like him as a fighter more than Marquez. So give me him.
Yeah, and the thing I will say too, so I'm also going to go with Barrio. I think he's going to win this fight. But the thing I will also say about him is he's just so damn durable. Kind of knockout to Chidi Ejikawani aside, who, you know, he knocked him out in almost no time. Like, he took an absolute beating from Abuaziatar, right? Like, an absolute beating from Abuaziatar. And then came back to win that fight in the third round. And, you know, you could also say, you know, man, did that dude take a beating from Anthony Hernandez until he eventually got tapped out in that one. And even, like, you know, he had survived a crazy onslaught of Jordan Wright and wound up submitting him. And, I mean, like, he forced Jordan Wright to want to wrestle. That says good things about his chin and his way of striking. So I like all of those things. And when you look at Julian Marquez and in even some of the wins he's had, man, does he look bad on the mat sometimes, right? Like,
yeah,
Maki Pitolo, like, took it to him grappling. and Maki Pitolo is known as coconut bombs and was, let's be honest, Maki Pitolo is just a welterweight. He was not a middleweight. He just, like, went to middleweight for funsies. But, like, that guy out-wrestled Julian Marquez really easily until he got caught in a submission. And I just, like, I don't think Marquez's submission skills are good enough to catch Barrio that way if it does happen that way. And that, once again, it kind of gives Barrio, like, multiple avenues to win. And you know, like, I think Barrio is better than Alessio De Cherico, and Alessio De Cherico beat him. Also, Julian Marquez got taken down by Darren Stewart. Speaking of people who shouldn't take you down, like, yeah, I'm on Barrio on this one. I also think that the price isn't terrible on this one either.
No, it's true. And Dan, figured out how to, like, totally drag a couple people through the mud who have nothing to do with this fight. Yeah, the breakdown, which I always love.
You mean, like, Alessio De Chirico and yep. Jordan? Wait, I got Jordan right in there. I got yep. Jordan Williams.
Yes.
We'll get them all.
And no, who else did you
be? I got Macy Barber. Macy Barber.
Yeah, Maki Pitolo. Yeah.
Maki Pitolo is fun as hell to watch.
I know though. He is. You shouldn't besmirch his name. All right, women's flyweight. This is the right weight class for you to rip on someone, but no. When's Macy Barber? Oh yeah, I'm back from vacation when she's fighting again, right? I hope.
Man, I hope so. If my guest host while you're on vacation likes Macy Barber, we might have words.
Exactly. All right. She's not in this fight though. We got Vivian Araújo versus Amanda Ribas, a couple of Brazilians whose names I said correctly. Araújo is Vivi is the nickname. Just like Dan's nickname is Dan. Daniel's nickname is Dan, excuse me. She's 11-4, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been knocked out once, one time she's been stopped. 5-3 in the UFC, loss, win, loss over her last three. Used to fight up at bantamweight, used to fight down at strawweight, was regional champion. Inch taller, 2 inch to reach on Ribas. She's been outstruck by 0.51 strikes per minute in the UFC, plus 100, even money for her. Amanda Ribas, 11-3, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, been knocked out twice, 5-2 in the UFC, loss, win, loss. Also for her, used to fight also at strawweight, multiple regional championships on her.
Mantle.
The mantle is totally weighed down this episode. She's got inch reach on Araújo. She's more active landing strikes. She's got a strike differential of plus 0.189, so a pretty good, she outstrikes her opponents thus far, pretty good. And she's 7 years younger than Araújo, minus 120.
I'm going to go dog here. I know. And I like Amanda Ribas a lot. Like, I know that the Discord's going to hate this. They love Amanda Ribas. I love Amanda Ribas as a fighter. I love her as a person. I love her as a GIF. Like she's a lot of fun for the UFC. The one thing I don't love her as is a flyweight. Don't love her
me
as
neither.
A flyweight.
Yeah.
And that's what ultimately sways this pick is like, I originally, when this fight posted, I was like, she could probably beat Arroyo. And then I went back and watched, like, Arroyo's real mean in the clinch. She's really freaking strong. Like, what she did to Roxanne Modafari, and don't get me wrong, Roxanne's not, like, the most athletic person, but she's really tough in the clinch and really physically strong. And Vivi just threw her around, right? She took her down at will. And we're talking about Hibas, who, like, couldn't get her best shit going against Caitlin Chookagian, who gives up takedowns and stuff like that, because she's just too small. And so she's going to be giving up some reach here. She's going to be giving up some height here. She's definitely going to be giving up some muscle here. And I just don't know that her skills hold up through all those things. So, yeah, I'm going to go dog again here with Arroyo.
Yeah, I think I said that Hibas had reach advantage, but she doesn't. She's got two. She's down 2 inches to Arroyo. Yeah, I had her, I think for her last fight, I had her listed as a reach advantage there. I'm taking her regardless, Hibas. Usually I had trouble picking it. Usually I go to who is better at striking from distance, because that's normally where most fights take place. And she's far better than Arroyo, at least statistically, from distance. Like, she outstrikes her opponents by over 2 strikes a minute from distance, while Arroyo gets outstruck by 0.34 strikes a minute. And Hibas is damn tough as well. But yeah, the concern, as Dan pointed out, is the size discrepancy. I like her better at strawweight, but at the same time, I don't like, I also complain when people cut a bunch of weight. So I guess I can't have it both ways, but give me Hibas and we'll keep our fingers crossed here. All right, middleweights, Derek Brunson versus Dricus Duplessis. Let's tell you about Brunson, 23-8, 12 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 6 times, 14-6 in the UFC. He's an OG. 5-1 over his last 6. However, he did get knocked out his last fight. 2010 MMA debut. He was a wrestling champion in a previous life. He's got inch reach on Duplessis. He outstrikes his UFC opponents by 0.66 strikes a minute. He's at plus 190. Still Knox, another nickname we don't know about, right? This is another South African thing.
Yeah, but I don't think Still Knox is a cheeseburger. So
no, you never know. It could be some kind of food. Have him on. Let's find out. He's 18-2, 7 knockouts, 10 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-0 in the UFC. He won his last fight via submission. He was the EFC champion. So that's the big South African promotion. He was the champion there at 2 different weight classes. He used to fight at welterweight as well. He also was a KSW champion over in Europe. 2013 pro MMA debut. 10 years younger than Brunson. Striking stats are in his favor. And he's almost 2 times more active landing strikes than Brunson is. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 3 strikes a minute. He's at plus 2.89. He's at minus 235. Go ahead.
I think this one's you.
Really?
Yeah, this one's you. You got the even ones. Right. This is the 8th one.
I'm switching. I had Duplessis, but no, I'm switching to Brunson. Duplessis did not look good his last fight.
Do you know what I switched? Remember
this one that you switched earlier?
This is the one. Yeah, this morning when you messaged me to ask me what time we were going to do the show today, I said, I flip-flopped on one just 6 seconds ago. I flip-flopped on this fight.
Wow. We'll have to find out if he flip-flopped to the correct side. But yeah, my friend was texting me all about it, and he laid out a lot of good points. Brunson does not gas out. Duplessis does gas out. Duplessis just, I remember he did not look good his last fight. He's like, whoa, this guy is kind of wild, but he keeps winning somehow. But I think Brunson's going to be a bad matchup for him. A little concerned about Brunson's age, obviously, and the fact that he's coming off a knockout. But I like him grinding out a win here. So give me the plus money, almost 2-1 plus money on Derek Brunson.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, and literally for the same reason. I was on Duplessis. I switched over to being on the Brunson side. I love the number. And second of all, you're right. The cardio is a big thing for me. Here's another thing, though. How many takedowns do you think Duplessis has faced in his UFC career?
Oh, yeah, I did look this up. I can't remember at this point, but I have looked up a lot of these stats. That Nate Latshaw is the guy's name, and he has a great website with stats on it. So you let us know, Gumby.
So he's fought 4 times in the UFC. He's faced 2 takedowns.
Yeah, he's going to face 2 takedowns in the first half a minute of this one, maybe.
You would hope. And those 2 takedowns, one of them was in a 3rd round against Brad Tavares. Brad Tavares failed. The other one was a successful takedown from Darren Till. And for me, that's really all you need to know, because Derek Brunson has fought and taken down people far better than Darren Till. right? Like, we're talking about a guy who actually manhandled Darren Till on the mat. He actually was manhandling Jared Cannonier until he found himself in a bad position in Tyron. He beat the hell out of Edmund Shabazian on the mat. He took down and beat the hell out of, Kevin Holland. You know, like, kind of name it. Like, all of his wins, he took down people and beat them up on the mat. So, yeah, I think Brunson is kind of being written off after his last performance against Cannonier. But this is a guy who's only lost to the tippity top of the middleweight division. And I really think Duplessis is not quite there yet. And I think the price is paying for the hype.
Yep. We're keeping our fingers crossed that Brunson is not shot, right? That's pretty much what we're counting on here.
But, like, what evidence do we have that he's shot other than like, he died in the second round against Jared Cannonier, who, again, Jared Cannonier, what is he, the third or fourth best guy in this division?
Yeah. And Brunson does, it's not like him getting knocked out is a new thing. He's been knocked out 6 times, so it does happen. So hopefully it doesn't happen this week. But yeah, but we're going with the technical guy over the, I don't even want to, is the police is a wild man, or is he just really weird?
I think he's kind of hard to put a moniker on like that, yes. You know, like to just say he's the blank guy.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, the lack of cardio is maybe my biggest concern here for him. Yep. And ultimately, yeah, when you're getting +190 here too on that fact, there's no reason to pay -230 for Duplessis.
Yep. It is true. All right. Let's go to the main event. Bantamweights, Cody Garbrandt versus Trevin Jones, main event of the prelims. Haha. Jones, 5-star Jones, 13-9 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted twice. It's the only time he's been stopped. He's 1-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's lost 3 straight fights. His no contest originally was a knockout win for him, but he had marijuana in his system, and that was not legal back in the, well, not, it was legal, but it wasn't legal for fighting back in the day. So he should have another knockout win on his record here. He was a regional champ, 2011 pro MMA debut, 5 inches of reach on Garbrandt. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 2.63 strikes a minute. Not very conducive to winning there. He's at +150. No love, Cody Garbrandt. He definitely gets no love around this podcast since we've been recording it. He's 12-5 with 10 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, 7-5 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. He's won 1 of his last 6. He lost his last fight via TKO. That was December 2021. He's not won since June of 2020. He used to be the champion of the world at bantamweight. He also used to fight at featherweight and flyweight. 2012 pro MMA debut, inch taller than Jones. Striking, active striking, and grappling stats all in his favor. He also has been outstruck over his UFC career by 1.06 strikes a minute. He's at -180.
And my turn? You. Yeah, yes, it's my turn. I'm going to go with Trevin Jones.
Yes, sir.
You're also on Trevin Jones?
Yeah, I have switched on this one. I'm like, I can't pick go with Cody Garbrandt, but someone on Top Turtle convinced me. You're right. You can't pick him. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think you can pick him, but also, like, are we maybe writing Trevin Jones off just, like, a little early? Because this is a guy who got, you know, like, if you look at his last 2 losses, right, out-wrestled a little bit by Raoni Barcelos, outstruck by Javid Basharat, like, no shame there. Yep. And then he was doing fine enough against Sedyakov Krokromanov before he got submitted. And before that, he knocked out Mario Bautista and Timur Valiev. Like, this is a crazy 5-fight resume for him. And yeah, he has lost 3 in a row, but I think maybe we're, like, writing him off a little bit too early. And to your point, his chin is held up against all of those people I just mentioned. In some of them, pretty damn hard hitters. Whereas Cody Garbrandt's chin is made of, like, macaroni at this point in time, right? Like, knocked out seemingly any time he steps into the cage. And when he doesn't get knocked out, it's just because he happened to land that blow 3 seconds before Rafael Assuncao did. Because Rafael Assuncao also would have knocked him out. But he's also getting knocked out by, like, you know, no disparaging to Pedro Munhoz. I like Pedro Munhoz. Pedro Munhoz is not a boxer. Pedro Munhoz is a submission specialist. Pedro Munhoz should not be knocking you as a former world champion out. So, yeah, for me, I just can't imagine backing Cody Garbrandt. And not only backing Cody Garbrandt, but, like, backing Cody Garbrandt against the guy who hits hard. Give me dog money here.
Yep, we were both taking the dog money. Does Jones hit hard enough, though? Like, I thought this matchup originally was okay for Garbrandt because he tends to get sparked by knockout artists. Not Jones isn't exactly a knockout guy.
He knocked out Mario Bautista and Timur Valiev.
Like, okay, I'm sold. That's all it takes to fade Barty Garbrandt.
In the Mario Bautista one, too, if you guys have not seen that fight, too, go back and watch him knock out Mario Bautista, because that is an absolutely wild knockout. And not for anything, Mario Bautista is 5-1 in his last six, which includes beating Miles Johns and Brian Kelleher and just manhandling Benito Lopez in his last fight. But that loss is definitely to Trevin Jones. And the only other dude he's lost to in the UFC is Corey Sandhagen. So that win aged very nicely for Trevin Jones.
Okay. You got me. All right. Doesn't take much, because Garbrandt is going to have his chin out there waiting to get hit and being a knucklehead. So, all right. Here's our picks before we bid you farewell. We both have Aaron and Jones, underdog. Both in a Brunson, underdog. Dan likes Aharujo. What do you? I got rid of the number I had for her.
Plus 100.
Plus what? 100. Right. Even money. So Dan's another underdog. I have Hibas. We're both in on Barrio as a favorite. Both in on Gary as a massive favorite. I have Simon as a big favorite. Dan has Martinez as another underdog. You are underdog crazy. Ricci, both of us big favorite. Basharat, big favorite, both of us. And Radzhabov, a fairly big favorite, both of us. So. Not a lot of close lines on the prelims, but hopefully we can make some money off these underdogs. Because I am the fast and loose man who picks a bunch of underdogs this year. So, all right, that is the prelim portion of the podcast, the long version. Tomorrow we are back with main card, locks, dogs, props, Hungry Man Jong, superfan parlay, all that fun stuff. So make sure you get in the Discord and chat with us. We have lots of fun in there. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Make sure you enter our contest. If you're in the Discord, Dan spams it with contest links, so make sure you get in there, and you can also get in the contest at the same time. So if you like contests, go to moneymma.substack.com, which is the Substack I run, and enter my free pick'em contest as well for this event. Gumby, we told you about his Top Turtle podcast. It's out now, so wherever good find the podcasts are sold. All our writing at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and on Twitter, we're SGPNMMA is the main account Gumby runs for us, and he's at Gumby Real, and I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. All right, we'll be talking to you again tomorrow. Until then, I still Knox, Jeff Fox, bid you farewell, and I also bid farewell on behalf of my partner El Gringo, Gumby Real. Bye bye.